Amen. So we're going today, I started a few weeks ago, and then we had the Christmas program last week. The title is All About Him, All About Him. And thinking about the baby Jesus, you know, what that's all about. It's so fun to watch the little kids when they do their skits around the baby Jesus and how they carry the, you know, the doll around, you know, it's just stuff like that, you know. It makes you kind of think, really, you know, just how powerful, you know, God's plan was. That he chose to come down as a man, but he had to do it the right way, and he came through a woman and was able to come and redeem us. And when Jesus came, you know, I've shared this before, but, you know, from the time of Malachi to the time that Jesus showed up, there's about a 400-year span, you know. So Malachi was the last of the minor prophets. You know, God would speak to the prophets. He'd deliver a word. Whether it be a judgment, a lot of them were judgment a little bit, you know, people not living for God and they'd get in trouble. But, you know, and then there was a 400-year span where there's no prophetic message that came to God's people. You know, I've always said, just think about how old our country is and how we've, in many ways, devolved into the sin that we have, even though we started on such a great foundation of Christian heritage in our country. And how things have kind of went. So we're only several hundred years old. Just think about what it'd be like to have 400 years without really, you know, God did do a little bit of things, you know, during that span, but he wasn't really speaking to his people. And I'm sure that, you know, some of the people thought, you know, he'd forgotten about them. You know, maybe you're here today and you maybe think that maybe, hey, God's forgotten about me, you know, and you just kind of maybe hurting inside. You know, and maybe things ain't going the way you want. Maybe, you know, loved ones ain't serving the Lord like you'd like to see them do, and all these things. And what happens, it seems like when we get into those moods, it seems like, you know, darkness, you know, has gotten darker. You know, it seemed like that, you know, maybe the devil's finally won. You know, maybe we feel like that sometimes. And then what happened here, then just like out of nowhere, along came Jesus. Along came Jesus. See, light came where no one was looking. And that's what happens sometimes. We look in the wrong places. And, you know, most people look to the government, you know, to give them light, you know, and that's what the Magi did when the star quit shining a little bit. They end up checking in there at Jerusalem with the king, and there was no light there. Matter of fact, they didn't even know there was a light. And that was bad because, you know, there was so much corruption. And, you know, some things never change, right? You know, you think about our government, there's so much corruption. But, you know, we need to pray that light's going to shine in our nation again to be able to turn things around. And, you know, because it's going to take God, you know, to really do it. Scripture I want to look at, and we're going to look at it in the Old Testament, New Testament. First Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Here's Isaiah talking. He received a word from God. Now, he's one of the major prophets. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your prophetic word that comes into our lives, that brings life. We thank you, Lord, for the Rhema word of God today, just leaping off the pages, Lord, into our hearts. Lord, we pray that we don't want to walk in darkness, but Lord, we want to see as you see so we can do as you do. Lord, I thank you for the anointing to be here to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah prophesied this 700 years roughly before Jesus came. You know, so a lot of people sometimes doubt the validity of God's word, but you know, we can see that, you know, the prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled were just amazing on how those things tie together. You know, you have to believe there is a God. You know, how did we get here? You know, that's a question. What happens is sometimes, you know, we get into darkness, and that's the first point I want to look at today, is the idea of darkness. Before, several weeks ago, I was in prayer, and I was just kind of, you know, thinking about, you know, what God wanted me to preach on here this Christmas season, and I just kind of seen a picture of the world, but yet there was no light on it. It was just covered with darkness. And really, I know there is a lot of light, in our lives and stuff like that. There's Christians. But yet, for the most part, I just seen how it just seems like the earth was in darkness. And how we need to try to maybe turn that around, because the worst thing about darkness is you can't see where you're going. Have you ever tried to walk in darkness? You know, maybe you get up to go to the bathroom in the night. You know, I like a door that's either closed or open. Have you ever walked into a door that's half open? Gets you right between the eyes, don't it? You know, so either it's closed or open, you know. And I remember, you know, we built this church and I helped design it, so the blueprints are in my mind. I mean, a lot of times when I come back from driving the kids on Wednesday night, I do a walk around to check it, and I just leave the lights off because I knew where everything's at. One day I hung a little bit to the left, and I hit the water fountain. You know, I must have been off a little bit. But see, that's what it's like when you walk in darkness. You can't really see where you're going. And see, that's the way a lot of people are now. Maybe you're born again today, and maybe you know what it was like. You can think back a little bit to your previous life, what it was like to walk in that darkness. And the thing is, sometimes we didn't know we was in darkness. You know, but yet we're walking in that darkness, and only when you come to the light can you see that it was really in darkness. And that's what's the catch about trying to explain somebody what it's like to be born again. Because when we don't have the light, we grope our way through life going from feeling to feeling. And when we live by our feelings, we get in trouble. Because it's the light of God's word and the light of God that needs to be working in our life to help us to have that stability that we need. Because if not, if we live in by our feelings about what the world has, you know, our senses, you know, if our, you know, we're not born again, so we're spiritually dead to God, so primarily we're living out of our soul, and our soul has a lot of wounds in it, doesn't it? All those things that happen as we go through this life, you know, we maybe been hurt or we feel shafted in some way, some bad things happen to us, and we've held on to that picture, that vision, you know, that's been imprinted on us, and it's causing us to not live how we're supposed to. Because when we live our life by feelings instead of faith, we lose every time. Every time. Because we can't trust our feelings. You know, I know some feelings are good, right? Love. But we all know that sometimes people that say they love, all of a sudden that love doesn't last, right? Just to be honest. You know, so what happened? What changed? Their feelings changed. And see, that's something that we need to get to the grip on. Because what happens is that when we walk in that spiritual darkness, because that's the worst kind of darkness. You know, when we walk in spiritual darkness where we're separated from God, you know, maybe we're walking in religion and that makes us maybe feel like we're okay. Have you ever walked in religion before? I have. You know, I prayed to Jesus every night growing up, and I prayed to him all through the time until I finally got born again, and then I figured out what I was praying about, you know. So I thought I was okay. I was living a religious life in some ways. Not all the time was I religious. I mean, I was very unreligious many times in my life. I suppose many of you have been too. But see, what happens is that spiritual darkness, see, when we're lost and we don't know we're really lost, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we start to fall and get it. And we can even be deluded as a Christian, even if you're born again. Have you ever made a mistake as a Christian? Have you ever thought about something the wrong way or interpreted the situation wrongly? Because we started to live out our feelings instead of by faith. And really, once we understand that what it's about is really about Jesus, especially this time of year, you know, I've lightened up a lot as I've gotten older. I used to be very intense about Christmas in some ways. You know, it's Jesus or nothing, you know what I mean? I went overboard. I usually get into something pretty crazy sometimes when I do it. And, you know, I didn't really, you know, have a lot of tolerance for some things. It grieved me, you know, when Jesus didn't get the credit where I thought his credit was due. And maybe you feel like that, and, you know, that happens, doesn't it? But we know that it's all about him, really. See, what happens is that when we're walking in the darkness, and, you know, what we usually do, now maybe you don't do this, but sometimes I think we compare ourselves to others, right? We look around to people around us, and, you know, how many can look around and find somebody that's a bigger sinner than we were? Come on, we all probably could, you know, and so then, well, I'm not that bad, right? I'm not as bad as that person. So what happens is that, you know, when we think we're all in the same boat, and maybe the boat don't have a leak, we think we're fine. Little did we know that the boat's heading towards the waterfall, right? That's what it's like without God. We're heading towards that waterfall, and when we compare ourselves to the world around us, you know, we're never going to really understand, because, you know, we can't compare our spiritual walk with current culture, because just because we may be more spiritual than our current culture doesn't mean that we're spiritual. So we don't gauge ourselves by what the world does. See, I have a world that's messed up. We have 8 billion people on the planet now, and most of them don't know Jesus Christ. And that's a fact. They're living maybe on pagan religions and different things, and there's things that we, the church, probably need to do about that, you know, whether by prayer or giving financially and or sending missionaries or maybe going ourselves. You know, we're called to change this world. That's what Jesus came for. That little baby. Oh, man, who would have known? Who would have known? That little baby that was born that night. You know, nobody had room for him. He had to be born in a stable. Nobody had time for him. Nobody cared. But God did. And God touched people's lives. He touched the shepherds. The people that you wouldn't think would come, they came. And that's the way it is today. God is touching hearts of people to come to worship the King, the little baby Jesus. But he's no baby no more, right? You know, as we know him now, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise God. The Bible says he's the King of Kings, and he's coming back again, and we need to be ready. But at this time, we celebrate him, and we cry to see, because, you know, as life goes, we usually, you know, don't really turn to God till we have problems. So as long as we have, you know, maybe a little bit of money in the bank, or we're driving a car, or maybe we have a good roof over our heads, we think that life's okay. You know, a lot of people living it up, living the dream. But it's really a nightmare in the end, because, you know, we have to remember that it's about Jesus, because if our heart doesn't have Jesus, we're not really okay. I remember what it was like to be not okay. I remember what it was like to have those feelings of doubt and unbelief in my life, even though I knew the Christmas story. And maybe many people know the Christmas story, why God came. But, you know, it's kind of like, have you ever played that, not played that, but I'm not very much of an artist either. I can't sing, can't draw, can't sign my name, but there's a couple other things I can do. But you know that paint by numbers, or you draw something by numbers? You go to 1, to 2, to 3, to 4, and as you keep drawing the numbers, you start to get the picture of what you're drawing, right? And see, that's what it's like with faith. We go to point one, and then point two, point three, and before you know it, God starts to fill it in, and then we start to see the picture of what it means. Nobody can tell me that God's not real. I can see it from Genesis to Revelation now. Why? Because I've been a Christian for a while, and I paid attention. You know what I mean? I wrote things down. I took notes. I studied for myself, and I can see that God's plan is real. I can see why he had to send Jesus, his son, to be able to pay that price. And I know why he had to come as a baby to be able to get into this planet, you know, because of what we, Adam and Eve, has done in the Garden of Eden when they sold out. They lost authority or dominion here. So God had to get dominion back, and he had to do it the right way. God plays by the rules, and them are the rules that he set up. And once we start to see that picture and it starts to come into place, and we can see exactly, you know, what God's wanting to do here. But see, sometimes things get a little rough. Now, that passage there, I'm going to read it again. It says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them." Now, that word there, dark land, it talks about the death shadow, is what that means in the Hebrew. The people are living in a death shadow or deep darkness, you know? And that's kind of really how it is before we become a Christian. We're walking and we're living in that darkness. And that darkness is terrible, and that's why Jesus had to come. And like I mentioned, you know, I had a vision of the earth and there was no light, and it kind of reminded me of the Genesis story. You know, that great day, I wasn't there. But that great day when God said, "Let there be light. Let there be light." There was only darkness at that time. But along came God, and he said, "Now's the time. Let there be light." I don't know about you, but I like light. You know, I love light. You know, I hate the set in darkness. When the kids all come home, they like to watch TV in the dark. If they're watching a movie, and it drives me crazy. I don't like darkness. I don't like sitting in the dark like that, and I like to sleep in the dark, but I got my eyes closed, so I mean, there you go. But I just like light. And see, when God said, let there be light, and then long about, you know, 700 years after God spoke through Isaiah, and he talked about a great light's coming, that's what God said. Let there be light again. I'm going to send my son. And he's going to bring that light to men. And that's the kind of light that we need. So we need to really see the big picture. In the 17th century, a famous philosopher and mathematician, Blaise Pascal, many people's probably heard of him, encouraged people to make a wager when it came to belief in God. He said, if a person chose to believe in God and God did exist, that person would gain everything, meaning eternal life. And if a person chose to believe in God and God did not exist, that person would lose nothing. But on the other hand, if a person chose not to believe in God and he was right, he would lose nothing. But if that person did not believe in God and he was wrong, he would lose everything, eternal life. Believing in God is a sure thing. Now, I know that God does exist, and I believe many of you do too. But let's just say he didn't. I say this with full surety. The Christian life is the best life there is. It's the best life we can choose. You know, I lived the other life, and I've lived this life. This life is better. There's life in this life. There's light in this life. I don't have to look over my shoulder in this life. It's the best life there is. And God came to give it to us, and we need to receive it. See, when we have a darkened mind, what happens is we only see a few feet in front of us, and that means that, you know, we only live for today and not for tomorrow. Always like that commercial where a guy has been on for a long time, but this man was sitting behind his desk, and his best friend called, and he says, "Hey, I got tickets to the Laker game. You know, right on in the front. Can you go tonight?" And then he looks at his calendar. His future in-laws are coming into town. He says, "Yeah, I can be there." And it said, think short term, not long term. And that's what a lot of people do. They just live for today. They live for the present. You know, what great feeling can I get today? What can I get out of this life? What can I squeeze out of this life? Because if you don't believe there's a next life, you're going to try to squeeze everything you can out of this life. But if you believe there's a next life, then you see that this life is just a stepping stone to the next. And we want to make sure that we get ourselves lined up for the runway, if you know what I'm saying. You know, we want to put ourselves in a position where we need to be. Now, Matthew 2:2, not 22, but 2:2, it's talking about the Magi. Always get a kick out of them guys, you know, that God used them. You know, they were a bunch of, you know, lack of a term, they're heathen. They didn't know the Christian God or the Jewish God. The Christian God, you know, is how we would see him now, but they didn't know the Jewish God. They had their own religion. They were doing their own thing. You know, they were astrologers. They spent their days looking into the sky. But then God, they saw something. They saw something that they'd never seen before. Have you ever done that yourself? Have you ever seen something you've never seen before? You know, just a few weeks ago, I did a wedding down in Branson. On the way back, we stopped in Springfield. Just want to do something different. And we went into this cave. It took a ride in there through a deal. And anyway, while we was in this cave, it was kind of neat. I can't remember what it was now, the name of the cave. But when we was in there, they turned the lights totally off and what it was like in absolute darkness. I mean, we're back in the cave like half a mile. I mean, it's just amazing, really, to see all the stuff in down there and things. But it's so, I'd never been in a cave before that I remembered. And it was really kind of cool. And see, that's what kind of was with these Magi. They had witnessed something they'd never seen before. And what I say from this is that God chose light is revealed by light. See, God sent a star to point to where Jesus was. And nobody saw it but these Magi. You know, and they were somewhat 700 miles away. I mean, that's a long ways by camel. You know, think about it. I mean, we could drive 700 miles in maybe 6-7 hours. But they had to go by camel. And so they chose to drop what they're doing and to make this trip because they saw a light. Would you, if you seen a star somewhere, would you quit your job or drop what you're doing and go after that star? Not knowing what that star, what's on the other side of that star? You know, why? But see, it fascinated them enough. And what's interesting is that God used these heathen, these pagans, to come and celebrate the Messiah. And they were 700 miles away. Well, we know on their trip, I'm just going to abbreviate, we're going to go into the whole thing, but they were on their trip and then the star maybe stopped shining for a minute and they stopped in at Jerusalem and talked to the king. Well, the king was kind of a conniver. He was scared. He lived about 8 miles from where the star was. Never seen the star. None of the people of Israel acknowledged the star, really, that we see, other than the shepherds at night. You know, when the angels appeared, you know, there was a Shekinah glory. The manifest glory of God was there, you know, announcing the birth of Jesus. But, you know, the Magi came a little bit later. But nobody had witnessed this star in Israel that we know of. They weren't looking for it. Oh, they wanted a Messiah, but they never dreamed it would go this way. See, sometimes we don't really know how God's going to do something, so we get something in our head, and then we miss out how God's going to really do it. Because we think we know what God's going to do, but little behold us, God's in charge, we're not. So they showed up and then the star reappeared and then they went there. We know the whole story. They bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, and that was really a blessing because, you know, the king, he was going to kill all the babies, and he did, under 2 years old in that area. We're going to just wipe them out. They won't take no chances. See, he was the king, you know, and the Magi come, hey, where's the baby that's born a king? Well, he got a little nervous, you know what I'm saying? So he just wiped them out. Before that happened, God gave Joseph a dream, we know, and they went off to Egypt. Well, guess what they lived on? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God provided ahead of time. And we need to see that God will provide. When God guides, God will provide. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that he's the one who's going to reveal and bring it to pass. So, you know, God brought these, and I guess Jerusalem's like 6 miles. I can't remember what I said a minute ago. Maybe I said 8, but anyway, it's close. And to me, it's kind of embarrassing. I'd have been embarrassed if I was one of the Jews back then, that here's these guys who are pagans, don't worship the God like we do because we're the ones, we're the chosen, you know what I'm saying? That's how the Jewish people saw themselves. They were the chosen people. You know, and all of a sudden, here's these outsiders coming and telling, hey, you know, the Messiah's here. And here they're supposed to be looking for the Messiah, and they missed it. And said, I don't know about you, but I've had that happen in my life, that maybe some person who wasn't a Christian kind of showed me up spiritually on something. They were more spiritual than I was on a certain issue. You know, it's humbling. It's kind of embarrassing when we as Christians choose to live like the world, and we fall short of God's glory that way. And so I always ask God, you know, please, you know, help me to live a life to bring glorified to you. So they celebrated, the Magi celebrated the birth of the king. That's why we celebrate, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ and what's all happening here and how important that is. And over the years, what's happened is we've kind of got Christmas a little bit messed up. You know, we can get it back. All it takes is a change of focus. But what happens is that we sacrifice to put gifts under the tree, and we forget about the sacrifice that hung on the tree. See, we sacrifice for all these things, you know, and we're thinking these things are so important, and we forget about the greatest thing. You know, it's hard to imagine that God sent that baby to die. You know, that's hard to get our head wrapped around. But yet that's what Jesus really came for. That little baby, that innocent baby, was God, the Son, through all eternity. But when he came down, he chose to empty himself of his divine authority. You know, and when he did that, he came down as a baby. And he lived until he became around 30 years old. And that's when God brought the Spirit back on him, in a sense, and where he received that power to show us the way. And that's what we're going to get to now in Matthew 4, 15 and 16. It's in, and this was a quote from Isaiah, but yet it kind of brings a little more perspective to it, and I hope that will help us here a little bit today. It says in verse 15, it says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who are sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who are sitting in land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." So here we see that shadow of death, and here we're seeing about how light was revealed when Jesus came. When Jesus came. Now, there's two things. He came in as a baby. There was some light, but then when he was anointed, when he was around 30 years old, we know that when he was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit came upon him. We're just not going to go into that, but that's a little background. See, what's interesting is that Jesus came to a place in northern Israel. That's where Galilee was. It's in northern Israel. And what we have to remember is that, you know, this area here had broken off from the Davidic line, which was the center of worship, okay? Back after Solomon, there were some issues, you know, that happened, and God had prophesied that the 12 tribes were going to, or that 10 tribes were going to bust off from the Solomon's son's rule. And so when they did that, they built their own altar to worship, but yet, you know, remember, God told all the people of Israel, the men especially, three times a year, you got to come to Jerusalem and worship. Well, when these guys broke off, well, the last thing they want to do is have their people go down to Jerusalem and worship under another kingdom. So they built their own altar. They did their own thing. And they lived around all these pagans that were in that. And before you know it, they were starting to act like them and live like them. You know, there's so much information that, we act like the people that we hang around. And that's a fact. So we got to be careful who we hang around. If you can think about people in your life right now that aren't good for you spiritually, well, you need to make a decision on how you can fix that problem. Whether it be by walking away a little bit for a time or whatever the case may be, because, you know, a bad company corrupts good morals, the Bible says. And another thing about this area, it was conquered when the northern armies, which we know in Scripture, many of them came, like the Babylonians and different ones, they swept in from the north. And, you know, they were the first ones conquered, the first ones taken into captivity. And they would take them into captivity, and many of them would be taken, you know, back up into their land and hauled off and things like this. And so they were under this pressure, and there was just so much darkness. And then what they did is another no-no, is that they were not supposed to marry out of the nation of Israel. They started marrying these people, these other cultures. And these other cultures, you know, they had their own gods. And see, that's what how Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he messed up a lot. He married, had all these wives and concubines, and they led his heart astray. Not until the end of his life did he get right with God. But everybody says Solomon's the wisest man. Yeah, he was. But he wasn't very smart when it came to women. Has any men here today ever made a bad choice that way? Don't point to your wife right now, you know what I'm saying? You get in trouble. But see, them women led their hearts astray. And that's what was happening in the nation of Israel. They were intermingling, so all this darkness kept coming in, all this darkness and all these things. And, you know, there was a little bit of orthodoxy there, but not a lot. And, you know, basically, when Jesus came, just a lot of everyday sinners. Now, when Jesus revealed himself, the light dawned. That's when the devil, you know, got really nervous sometimes. Because when Jesus showed up on the scene and he started to minister, there's a lot of things happening. And what happened then is that now there was something to compare to. Now there was Jesus with the light, and then also you had all these pagan stuff there, and also you had religion. You had the Pharisees that were, you know, pushing people down and, you know, bringing religion into it, which is darkness also. So Jesus came on the scene, and then he started to turn this around. And so people could choose, they could stay in darkness or they'd come to the light. Because what happens is darkness has a way of pulling us into its grasp until light shows up and reveals a better way. I remember in my life when people started to tell me about a better way, about how you can come to know a real God. You know, I went and bought a Bible. Started to read the Bible, and I started to, you know, at first I didn't understand it. But the Bible says in John 3:3 that you must be born again to perceive the kingdom of God. But after I got born again, well, then things started to click. You know what I mean? Things started to fit. That light started to come into my life, and you start to see that things are changing. And it goes away because, you know, when we think we're a good person until we come in contact with the holy God, you know, I thought I was a good person in many ways. You know, I never really hurt anybody. I hurt myself a little bit, but I never went out in life to hurt other people. I didn't know that much. But yet, that wasn't good enough for God. Just doing good things. And that's why we need to understand, and as we celebrate this Christmas season, about the light of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And see, that's why Jesus came. You know, that little baby, and you see them old pictures them painters drew, and they always see, like, around the baby enlightened and stuff. You know, the light of God has come into the earth. And we need to be bearers of the light. You know, we are like the moon. You know, God is the sun, we're the moon. We can only reflect the light. Well, what happens, you know, if you got the moon right here and you got the light right here and I'm the earth? When you let the world come between you and the sun, you cannot reflect God's light. When we let the things of this world come in and shadow and hinder and shade out, so that we can't get to the light of God. So what do you do then? Well, God's not going to move. We got to move. We have to move to a place where we can receive the light of God. Because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we have to put ourselves in a position to be able to receive that light of God and let it shine. And so that darkness has to flee out of our life. You know, God didn't say, let there be light, but he said, I am the light. And Jesus is the light of the world. And maybe you feel that you walk in darkness. Maybe you feel like there's a cloud hanging over you. Many times we can get that way because we live, you know, sometimes in oppressing times. Maybe things aren't going the way that you wanted it. Maybe somebody in your life is hurting you, or maybe things are happening. You know, but it's that light that we have to come and to put that oppression out of the way and put it under our feet. That's why so many people, you know, maybe try to give up sometimes, is because they don't feel they can take another step. They don't feel that they have the light of God in their life, and they just think that everything's going wrong all the time, you know. But God has a way of doing it, because life, you know, God can turn around, and life will never make sense without Jesus. Never makes sense. Life will never make, it's confusing sometimes. You know, I don't know why things happen the way they do. I wish it was easier sometimes, but it's not. Sometimes we just got to fight that good fight of faith. And we know that Jesus Christ came to save us, and that we need to accept him into our life. And we have the life and light of God inside of us. The Bible says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It doesn't really matter what happens in this world, because we know that the world that's to come is a lot better. But while we're here, we just got to keep fighting. We just got to keep going. We just got to keep leading people to Jesus, you know, and watching God happen, because really, you know, if we really admit it, life is all about Jesus. You know, why are we here? Why did God place us here on this planet? You know, what are we supposed to be doing? You know what I'm saying? You know, I hope it's more than just breathing and eating and living it up. God came for so much more. And it's God's light that we need in our life. And as we head towards that light, and like I said, you have to put the things of this world out of the way. You know what's in your way. We all know. I could tell. I can think right now what gets in my way sometimes. I got to get up. I have to move to a position. You know, what do you do? Have you ever been in a place where you have no cell signal? I think we all have. What do? You wait for the signal? Huh? Oh, that signal's coming. I can feel it. No. You head to higher ground. Amen? We have to head to higher ground to be able to get that signal. Amen? Let's pray.